WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Today, the Supreme Court hears arguments over the Biden administration's plan to forgive student loan debt for millions of Americans. ABC's Devin Dwyer explains some of the Republican challenges to the proposal.
How have they been injured by the federal government erasing federal debt? We put that question to Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt. He's the former Republican Attorney General of that state that brought this case to begin with. Interesting answer. He said, look, it's expensive. It adds to the national debt. He says it's unfair, this policy, and he says that the president overreached.
The U.S. Marshals Service says it was hit with a ransomware attack on February 17th. Officials determined it was a major incident. They did not say if the ransom was paid or who was behind the attack. The White House says there's still no consensus about what caused the pandemic. That's after the Wall Street Journal reported the Energy Department believes a lab leak was most likely. And it could be a tough commute this morning in the Northeast where snow has arrived. This is ABC News. The defense wrapped its case in the trial of disgraced South Carolina attorney Alec Murdoch.
Defense attorneys wrapping up their risky move, putting Alec Murdoch on the stand in his own defense, where he repeatedly denied having anything to do with the murders of his wife and son, Paul.
I didn't shoot my wife or my son anytime, ever.
But also repeatedly admitting to lying about his whereabouts and financial crimes before and after the murders.
Oh, what a tangled web we weave.
The judge and jury hearing all of it. The judge also approving a defense request to give jurors the opportunity to visit the rural family property where the murders were carried out. Prosecutors are expected to present their rebuttal witnesses Tuesday. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Representative for actor Tom Sizemore says doctors have informed his family there's no further hope for Sizemore and advise him to make end-of-life decisions. The 61-year-old, best known for his roles in 1990s movies, including Saving Private Ryan, collapsed at his home. He had suffered a stroke and brain aneurysm. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms.
Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff. Like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
hey, you got this. Just breathe. Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
AdoptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to ALZ.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
You're listening to a Civic Media radio station. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back to the second hour of our program. On the line with us is William Will Summer, the politics reporter for the Daily Beast, the host of the Fever Dreams podcast, author of a brand new book just released titled Trust the Plan, The Rise of QAnon and the Conspiracy That Unhinged America. Website, of course, thedailybeast.com. His Twitter handle, Will Summer, WILLSOMMER. And once again, the book is Trust the Plan. Will, welcome to the program. Tell us about tell us about QAnon. I realize it's a huge question. I'm not quite sure where to begin. Maybe we should start with the impact that QAnon is having on Americans.
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, this is something that emerged a few years ago with this anonymous figure named Q, and basically it convinced a whole lot of people that the world is run by a satanic cabal and that Donald Trump's going to save the planet. And so in my book, I wanted to kind of get out across America and find out the impact QAnon was having. And the reality is, it's not great. I mean, to sum it up, everything from really motivating a lot of people for their roles in January 6th to destroying families or even inspiring gangs of kidnappers, it's really wreaking havoc.
When I lived in Germany for a year back in the 80s and did a real deep dive into the religion of the Nazis, I knew a few Nazis, repentant Nazis, but, you know, I mean, people who were quite elderly at that time and have passed away since, but, you know, were in Hitler's armies and were true believers. And, one of the things I found was, you know, I read the Protocols of the Elders of Zion, you know, this Russian intelligence service disinformation campaign from the 19-teens. And the more I dug into it, the more, you know, looking back on it, Wilfred Diam was this one writer who published a magazine called Astara that Hitler was a big fan of. And it was kind of the Q. It was so similar to QAnon, you know, it spooks me looking back on it. I'm wondering how much of QAnon is actually derived from that old anti-Semitic stuff, or alternatively, are these just the kinds of religious tropes that happen over and over and over again throughout history? Not always, you know, picking on Jews, but picking on, you know, whole varieties of people. In different cultures and in different ways.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question, Tom. At its core, and this is often what the surface QAnon believer doesn't think, but at its core, QAnon is based on these anti-Semitic ideas that go back to the Middle Ages. So this idea of the blood libel, that Jewish people drink children's blood or use it to create the bread at Passover.
Exactly.
Back to the 13th century, and then suddenly we see this reemerge in QAnon where they're saying, well, you know, these figures in banking, in Hollywood, in the Democratic Party, George Soros, they're terrorizing children in satanic rituals so that they can stay young and drink their blood. So really, it's almost a one-to-one thing, and it's obviously disturbing to see it reemerge in the modern day.
Yeah, but how widespread is this? both in the United States and around the world, Will?
I think certainly more than a lot of people realize. I mean, even the most conservative polls will put belief at QAnon at between 3 and 7% of Americans. And that number gets larger when you say something like, do you think the world is controlled by a satanic cabal, et cetera? Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're easily talking in the millions of Americans. And QAnon has spread all over to Germany and France and Japan. In Germany, just recently, there was a group of people in the security services there who were arrested for plotting a QAnon-style coup, that they were QAnon believers. Very similar thing in France. So, you know, unfortunately, this has really spread across the world.
Whoa. So how extensively has QAnon penetrated the Republican Party?
I think really the GOP, I mean, certainly we can think of a hardcore QAnon believer like Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's now one of the most prominent members of the House Republicans. At the same time, I think Republican leaders have been really reluctant to criticize QAnon. I have a part in the book where initially when it's emerging, people ask Kevin McCarthy about it. And he says, well, that's ridiculous. You know, these people obviously have crazy ideas. There's nothing to it. And then maybe a year later, as QAnon gets more powerful and it's an election season, he suddenly says, oh, I've never heard of such a thing. I can't comment on that. So, you know, I think Republican leaders have looked away and allowed it to grow. And in the case of Donald Trump and some of the people around him, they've really actively courted it. You know, Donald Trump on his social media network will post all these QAnon memes, pictures of him wearing a Q, stuff like this. And so, you know, these people are being courted as sort of a hardcore pro-Trump demographic, when really they're a violent group of people.
What is the level of, and please remind me to get back to the violence, because that's something that I'd like to drill down in a little farther into. But I'm curious what the overlay is between QAnon and contemporary evangelical, by and large, white Christianity in the United States.
It's huge, particularly when you're talking about Pentecostal movements or charismatic evangelical groups. So often I run into this collision. I think particularly when you have these church leaders who hold themselves out as contemporary prophets, that they're getting these revelations from God, I don't think it's that much of a jump for believers then to say, well, you know, maybe I'm getting this revelation from a guy named Q. When I go to these QAnon conferences, these are people who see themselves, they think the devil is real, he's a real guy out there, and that they are in battle with him. And so really this matches very well with contemporary evangelical Christianity.
Right. So you said that QAnon has violence at its core, or tell us about QAnon, the association between QAnon and violence.
Sure. So at its core, QAnon promises this moment called the storm, in which Donald Trump will return to power and impose sort of a fascist dictatorship on America. Now, they think that's a great idea, and that, you know, he'll execute all his enemies. So you have this fascist dream at its heart, and you're telling people that their opponents, their political opponents, are doing the worst things you can imagine to children. So it's probably no surprise then that eventually, you know, especially with so many guns in America, some of these people start taking action. In my book, I get into a group of QAnon believers that plotted to kidnap children from foster homes, and ultimately ended in a murder. A QAnon believer in a separate case murdered the head of a national mafia family because he thought he was arresting him for Q, according to police. There's really all of these cases. You know, I know of at least two cases where QAnon believers are accused of murdering their own family members because of their beliefs. So, you know, I feel like often this stuff doesn't get the press. I mean, I'm just trying to flag for people that the risk these conspiracy theories have as they grow from something, the sort of ridiculous thing online, into something that unfortunately is very serious.
There's a story in your book about the father of a QAnon believer who says, you don't have any idea how bad this is. Can you tell us that story?
Yeah, this is a really heartbreaking story. I think this is one of the sort of lesser known tragedies of QAnon, but one that is taking place all over the country. Really, I'd imagine, I think in every city in the country, is a family that's been ripped apart by QAnon. You know, one day your spouse or your parent or your child comes home and says, starts basically talking nonsense. And worse, they're mad that you won't support them and join them in believing in this. So in this case, I followed a family in the Midwest for about a year as their adult son slipped into QAnon. And this father, who was a kind of blue-collar guy who had been so repulsed by Trump that after being a Republican, he'd become a liberal. And he was just so sad to see his son, you know, start saying, oh, you know, Tom Hanks is a pedophile. He's going to get arrested and sort of turn off from the world because and retreat into this online community. And, you know, he didn't feel he had to get a job because soon this utopian QAnon moment would come. And so they would fight constantly. And so it was a very sad situation. And as you said, I mean, the quote there where his message was that this can really reach so many people who think you won't be affected by QAnon until suddenly someone you know gets sucked into it.
I've seen, you know, in over the course of my life and particularly in my teenage years and early 20s, people kind of slide away from me and the social circle that, you know, we were all part of because they embraced Mormonism. In one case, a friend became a Jehovah's Witness. Lesser, you know, other religions, but, you know, some of these religions tend to be very, very insular and very, you know, kind of cult-like. That's apparently what you're describing. Is that a very common characteristic with QAnon, that it essentially tears families apart? Or are some people just quietly supporters of QAnon and not evangelical? I guess the question is, how evangelical is QAnon? Is evangelism at its core?
Yeah, really the heart of the QAnon message is, and part of its appeal, is that it gives the average believer something to do. And so it says, look, you know, this moment where Donald Trump is going to arrest all these people, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, as I said, Tom Hanks, everyone, these people who are thought of, well-regarded by many Americans, and he's going to expose them as these devil worshipers and child abusers. And so as QAnon believers, we have to spread the word about the truth of these people before that moment comes, or there will be a civil war. And they call this kind of calling they have, the Great Awakening. And of course, there's obviously a religious overtone there. And so this idea that the QAnon believer has to get out and spread the word is really core to its message.
Mm. And that, you know, I mean, the evangelism that is at the core of Christianity, arguably, is the reason why it has spread so far around the world. And you know, it's absolutely fascinating. Will, you're doing great work here. Will Sommer is the politics reporter with the Daily Beast, host of the Fever Dreams podcast, and he's got a new book out, just released this week or the last week, Trust the Plan, The Rise of QAnon and the Conspiracy That Unhinged America. You can follow Will at Will Sommer, S-O-M-M-E-R, on Twitter. Will, thanks a lot for dropping by today.
Thanks a lot, Tom.
Great talking with you. 17 minutes past the hour.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Meanwhile, the right-wing takeover of Florida's schools continues. And how do you call yourself a reporter when you can't report the news? A little problem over at Fox.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581. 877-247-1581.
Hey friends, Tom Hartman here to tell you about my brand new book. It's called The Tom Hartman Reader. Tom Hartman Reader is unlike any of my other books. It's a collection of my best and most revealing writings that I think you need to know. Tom Hartman Reader covers everything from my first commitment to Jeffersonian democracy to my steadfast opposition to the corporatization of America.
Also, it more clearly identifies the root causes so many of our social and environmental ills. The Tom Hartman Reader will give you essential information and explore solutions to questions like, how do we keep our schools from treating children like assembly line products? Why is it that attention deficit disorder is not an affliction? Or what cloudy Germany can teach us about solar energy? And much, much more. Not only will you gain vital substance on a wide range of topics in the book, but the Tom Hartman Reader will inspire you to action. It's time to educate ourselves on the world around us, why it got this way, and the corrective actions we all need to take. The Tom Hartman Reader, available in fine bookstores everywhere and on our website at tomhartman.com. Makes a great gift, too. Inspiration, insight, and action. The Tom Hartman Reader.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats make a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. Goats provide food, milk, and give Sudanese families the safety net to pursue education or set up a small business. They really are the gifts that keep on giving. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
If something's wrong with your computer, you reboot it. You restore it back to where it needs to be. Today, our country is headed down the wrong track, overwhelmed with joblessness, declining wages, and corporations deciding our elections, for starters. This is not the Founding Fathers' vision. It's time we rebooted something bigger than our computers. It's time we rebooted the American dream. We must restore the thriving, prosperous days we once had. And my new book, Rebooting the American Dream, explains exactly what we need to do. Bringing our jobs and manufacturing home, rolling back the Reagan tax cuts, ending corporate personhood, and educating our electorate are part of the simple 11-step plan in rebooting the American dream that we can start today to rebuild our country. Check out Rebooting the American Dream in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com. We can recover the American dream we lost 30 years ago to Reaganomics and the Reagan-Bush-Clinton-Bush era. We're all in this together. Please check out Rebooting the American Dream by yours truly, Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere and online at tomhartman.com. Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them.
Hey, whether you're a history buff, a foodie, or you just want to take in the sights, American Cruise Lines has a little something special for everyone. Choose to explore the mighty Mississippi River with American Cruise Lines. On this amazing journey, you'll discover Civil War history you've only read about, savor exquisite Cajun cuisine in New Orleans, and experience the ultimate roots of rock and roll in Memphis. Or you can choose to explore the beautiful Columbia and Snake Rivers, where you'll visit the natural scenic landscapes of Multnomah Falls, Mount St. Helens, and the incredible Columbia River Gorge. This is where I live. It's beautiful, and we watch these boats going down the river all the time. As you retrace the historic steps of Lewis and Clark, come aboard the newest fleet of American river boats. Relax on your private balcony. Yeah, every room on the ship has one. As the crew provides the highest level of personalized service and some of the best food out there. Request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. 23 minutes past the hour. And, Nicholas, my apologies. Hang on. I need to do these stories here. Finish the hour, as they say. Ron DeSantis has laid out this new bill that would be a complete takeover of the public colleges in Florida. And it's, you know, I mentioned again this briefly last week, but now we are getting all the details of the legislation. It would basically ban any viewpoint he doesn't like. Students, the general education courses would only be in five categories, communications, humanities, mathematics, social sciences, and natural sciences, which sort of sounds benign.
except that the direct requirement of the bill would be history courses that don't admit to the existence of U.S. history of slavery or the internment of Japanese people during World War II. All of the general education courses, this is Laura Clausen's piece for Daily Kos about this, all of the general education courses are intended to provide, quote, the education of citizenship of the Constitutional Republic. Constitutional Republic is a buzzword that Republicans use when they mean to say that America is not a democracy. This is how they justify things like the Electoral College and gerrymandering and throwing people off voting rolls. And also that it must afford students engagement with the Western literary tradition. In other words, you can only study old dead white guys. The faculty will be radically disempowered. They will be forced to teach within the limits DeSantis lays out or else. DeSantis's political appointees will hire and fire professors and help define curriculum. I mean, this is why students were walking out across the state. This is just so very, very wrong. Also, over on Fox News, Howard Kurtz broke the taboo. I'm frankly impressed by this. Howard Kurtz is an actual news reporter over at Fox, and he had this to say this weekend. He said, it was on Sunday, he said, quote, some of you have been asking why I'm not covering the Dominion voting machines lawsuit against Fox involving the unproven claims of election fraud in 2020, and it's an absolutely fair question. He said, I believe I should be covering it. It's a major media story, given my role at Fox. But the company has decided that as part of the organization, there's a word that's cut off here on this, I can't talk about it or write about it, at least for now. I think they're saying because of the lawsuit. I strongly disagree with this decision, but as an employee, I have to abide by it. And he said, if that changes, I'll let you know. Tucker Carlson, for example, according to the internal documents that have now been released as a result of this lawsuit, said that Trump's claims that the election was stolen were, quote, ludicrous and totally off the wall. Sean Hannity referred to the people promoting the election claims as, quote, lunatics. Raj Shah, who is a senior vice president at Fox, described the voter fraud claims apparently as mind-blowingly nuts. And yet, there hasn't been a single word in prime time on Fox News about the fact that they're being sued, or the fact that all of these hosts, Tucker Carlson, Sean Hannity, Laura, what's her name, that all of them have been lying to their viewers for 2 years now, intentionally, as a matter of policy, a policy driven from the top down. How can you call yourself a news organization? Fox so-called news, how can you call yourself a news organization when you don't let your reporters report the news that your reporters and commentators have been lying to your viewers for years? What do you do about this? What do we do about this?
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Other than obviously exposing it. This is something that you need to be talking to all your friends who watch Fox News about. We'll be right back with your calls.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You could have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day. With no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013.
A progressive voice from...
This is Civic Media for the Fox Valley.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Today, the Supreme Court hears arguments over the Biden administration's plan to forgive student loan debt for millions of Americans. ABC's Devin Dwyer explains some of the Republican challenges to the proposal.
How have they been injured by the federal government erasing federal debt? We put that question to Missouri Senator Eric Schmidt. He's the former Republican Attorney General of that state that brought this case to begin with. Interesting answer. He said, look, it's expensive. It adds to the national debt. He says it's unfair, this policy, and he says that the president overreached.
The U.S. Marshals Service says it was hit with a ransomware attack on February 17th. Officials determined it was a major incident. They did not say if the ransom was paid or who was behind the attack. The White House says there's still no consensus about what caused the pandemic. That's after the Wall Street Journal reported the Energy Department believes a lab leak was most likely. And it could be a tough commute this morning in the Northeast where snow has arrived. This is ABC News.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. What's your mind, Gene of Eau Claire?
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
What's your mind, Andrew of Detroit?
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Over the years, you've really kept up with the times. You're on social media.
Like, dislike, block.
Maintained your health.
10,000 steps. I'm a beast.
You even programmed your own smart home.
In 10 minutes, remind me that I'm a genius.
In 10 minutes, I'll remind you that you're a genius.
If you can do all that, you can definitely save for retirement. Just go to aceyourretirement.org, a free online tool sponsored by AARP that can help you get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. At aceyourretirement.org, you'll meet Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach, and in just 3 minutes, get personalized recommendations to help boost your retirement savings. They're easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's brought to you by AARP, so you know they got your back.
You are a genius.
Take charge of your retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org now. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on SiriusXM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. Do you know the importance of a high-protein diet for your dog? Dogs are omnivores, and it's imperative that as omnivores, they get enough protein in every meal. Many of the mass-produced dog foods, especially the dry dog foods, may lack that essential protein and the healthy fats that your dog needs for optimal health. So what do? Well, introducing Dynavite's Meal Booster. It's a freeze-dried meal topper that is loaded with protein and omegas. You just sprinkle it on top of your pet's food and for a delicious taste, packed with essential nutrients that can help support a healthy skin and coat, gut health, and your pet's immune system. Our dogs, Blue and Chewy, get all the nutrients they need to be healthier and full of life with Dynavite as a topper, and they absolutely love this stuff. Dynavite is so confident that your pet will benefit from the products, they offer a 90-day risk-free trial on your first purchase, so you have nothing to lose. Go to Dynavite.com today. That's D-I-N-O-V-I-T-E.com. Dynavite.com. Terms apply. See the site for details. Welcome back. 35 minutes past the hour. Picking up your calls. Rick in Altadena, California. Hey, Rick, what's on your mind today?
Well, you know, I think that I am not anti-Semitic. At least I think so. I question sometimes, and the reason for this comment is because you did some statistics about increase in anti-Semitism and this sort of thing.
Yeah.
I have Jewish friends, and when I am accused of being anti-Semitic, it's only under the circumstances where I have criticized Israel or actions by the Israeli state. I personally do believe that Israel is an impediment to peace in that part of the world, and they do things that I don't like. But it's my criticism of the Israeli state, not of the Jewish religion or of Jews in general.
Right.
The point of this is, when I speak out about that, there are Jewish friends that accuse me almost instantly of anti-Semitism. And when I criticize the Crusades or fundamental Christianity, no Christian tells me, well, I'm some kind of anti-Christian racist. How do I have confidence in Jewish organizations that provide me statistics on anti-Semitism when it seems to me that I'm reluctant to call it oversensitive to any kind of criticism of Israel? I don't know. But can you comment on how you deal with this?
There are some organizations that bind themselves fairly tightly to Israel. AIPAC, for example, the American Israeli Political Action Committee, has criticized people who criticize Israel as being anti-Semitic. I reject that, like you, Rick. I reject that characterization. The Anti-Defamation League is much more moderate, although they're supportive of Israel. I mean, I'm supportive of Israel. I'm just not supportive of the Netanyahu government. And you'll find that that's true of a lot of Israelis. I mean, read Haaretz. It's the liberal nationwide newspaper in Israel. They've got an online presence. They're openly critical of the government in many of these regards. So, you know, what is a robust debate actually in Israel is for many people in the United States, not a debate. But I think that,
That's also what I have heard is that there's more of a debate on these issues in Israel than in the United States.
Oh, there absolutely is. There absolutely is. And you know, what should be done, you know, about the two-state solution or the Palestinians or Gaza, all those things, in many cases are just like verboten here in the United States. And they're, as I said, they're active debates. But being concerned about how the government of another country is behaving does not mean that you have anything against the people of that country. It's just that simple. Rick, thank you for the call. Georgiana in Elmira, New York. Hey, Georgiana, what's up? Is it Georgiana?
Hi. So it's Georgiana. Yeah, I'm kind of want to talk about the whole misogyny abortion issue, and I'm coming from a kind of an interesting place. My husband is a retired minister, and let me just say that throughout his ministry, it became harder and harder and harder, he felt, to be a really good Christian because of this evangelical thing that was going on. And, I often think, I kind of equate evangelical Christianity with situational ethics. And I kind of go, how many of these rich white boys in high school or college, paid for their girlfriend's abortions as opposed to having a baby at that point in their life, because it would ruin their life, obviously. And then finally, this is really the crux of my call. Whatever happened to the golden rule? The golden rule is defined by every major religion and spirituality in the world. Do unto others as you would have others do unto you. I think that we owe it to our fellow human being to do good and to be kind and to not be judgmental. And it certainly is not Christian to do
that. I'm with you. And by the way, the golden rule is not confined to every religion in the world. It's in every culture in the world. It's in, the golden rule is at the core of tribal cultures that have, they have their own religion, but, or religious practices or whatever you want to call them, but not what you would call organized religion, certainly not associated with any of the world's great religions kind of thing. So, yeah, I'm with you, yeah. Georgiana. I think it's as I said earlier, I think one of the reasons why attendance of Christian churches in the United States is falling and has been for three decades now.
Oh, absolutely, because of
the merger of Republican politics and Christianity, and much of Republican politics is the politics of bigotry and hate and fear. Thank you, Georgiana. It's nice to hear from you. Thanks for listening to SiriusXM too. Bill in Columbus, Ohio. Hey, Bill, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, thanks for taking my call. My main points build on a lot of the topics you've just been talking about. Your regular reference to the need for, a different genre of talk radio to be out there, and this kind of crisis in Christianity where it's been taken over by the GOP. So my basic idea, I just wanted to float that. It doesn't seem to be much a momentum for it right now, but it seems to meet the times. And the idea is basically that, if this outreach in radio could be, could start to get rolling, right? I think that to appeal to the center right and to appeal to a large number of people who, identify as Christian in a way, to basically have as a part of that radio outreach a place for a Catholic social teaching or and in dialogue with broader religiously inspired social ethics. Because that's really what's missing with the far right hijacking of Christianity is, the golden rule and just justice and, an ethical perspective. And there's really a robust tradition of not just Catholic social teaching, but that grew up in the United States in dialogue with the Christian social ethics of people like Richard Eli at the head of the social gospel movement. So I don't see anything happening in this way that would make me, hopeful that there's some initiatives that one could jump on board with in this direction. But it just seems to me that the Democrats, the more progressives, people who want to save democracy, need to somehow chip away at, some center-right voters. And it seems that there's really compelling arguments and cases that can be made for why Christians should actually, approach their neighbors in a spirit of friendship and work for the common good,
work for human rights, work for justice. And there's a very robust tradition, but it's not really being emphasized because, especially the Catholics got kind of hijacked by the religious right during the era of the neoconservative Catholics. So with the journal First Things, I don't know how familiar you are with the journal First Things.
I'm not at all.
Well, there were a bunch of Catholics in kind of dialogue with conservative Protestants and some Jewish people who, you know, teamed up to kind of present an interpretation of Catholicism in the era of Pope John Paul II through Benedict XVI that basically made it republicanism.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm familiar with it. Here, maybe this is not what you're speaking to, Bill. Tell me, but what popped into my mind back in the 70s, I actually, for several years, when we were living in Detroit and I was working at RCA and I was doing a lot of commuting, and I listened to Christian radio. I mean, that was a period in my life where I was very into Christianity. And the thing that, you know, looking back on it, reflecting on it, what occurs to me is that the message of hope and love and tolerance doesn't get people cranked up. You know, it doesn't get people emotional. It doesn't get them, you know, angry. It doesn't get them, you know, out of their chairs. It's not the kind of thing that's going to cause people to call an 800 number and give them their credit card. Whereas, and Christian radio is a business. The way it works is the TV pastors or the radio pastors, it works the same way on television. They rent time on these stations and they rent it by the hour. So say it's $100 an hour for a station in Detroit. And so that means every hour you've got to generate at least $130 or $140 in donations. And if you don't, you drop the station. And if you make more than that, you might buy a second hour. And or a different day part. And so they're constantly fine-tuning their message to whatever produces the largest number of contributions. And because these are the mass media across the United States, and there's as many radio stations carrying religious content as there are radio stations carrying right-wing hate radio. I mean, there's thousands of them. And there's television stations that do the same. Because they run on this business model, they have to constantly be enraging their listeners, their consumers, essentially, in order to provoke them to say, "Damn it, I care enough about this that I'm going to give you $50." And that outrage is I think corrosive at the end of the day. I think it's destructive, and that's why that message that you're talking about, Bill, the core message of Christianity, the message that you find in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 25. That message is very rarely preached on radio or television because it doesn't raise money. You don't hear Franklin Graham, he's hustling his prayer line, but that's so he can get people to call in and give him their name and address and so that he can pester them for money for the rest of their lives. But, you generally don't hear these people talking about that aspect of Christianity. Instead, it's all about the fire and brimstone. It's all about those terrible homosexuals or those terrible liberals or et cetera.
I agree with that. I hear a commercial coming up.
Yeah, it's coming. Last thoughts, Bill. You got 10 seconds.
I think that there is a sort of a magnanimous message to work for a society that works for everybody that could appeal to people to take on a high calling.
I hope you're right.
Thanks. To Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
Right back. Stick around. Oh, and Nicholas, I got dropped out of rotation. My fault. I'll pick you up on the other side of the break. These are crazy, stressful times. If you haven't tried CBD, you haven't experienced complete relaxation. The reason I find that CBDistillery.com has the best CBD products, including their top-rated Synergy Plus collection. No prescription needed. It's calmness and well-being delivered right to your door that'll make you wonder how you manage life without it. It's called Unwind Synergy plus THC and CBD. It's only available from CBDistillery.com. You must be 21 or older to order. Unwind Synergy is remarkably formulated with full-spectrum CBD plus hemp-derived Delta-9 THC. The bottom line for Louise and me, Unwind Synergy is for us and for you too. And with over 2 million customers, CB Distillery is the source you can trust. Visit CBDistillery.com and click on Synergy Plus. And at checkout, enter Tom, T-H-O-M, for 20% off at CBDistillery.com. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota.
It is one of the most powerful books you'll ever read, full of the wisdom of ancient cultures and the directed hope of modern thinkers. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartmann. Discover how we're made of sunlight and what this has to do with the impact of fossil fuels on civilization. Read about the coming new ice age and what must be done soon. Understand how ancient cultures valued community and cooperation and what we can learn from them. Get in touch with the secret of enough, the meaning of wealth, and the wealth of security. The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight helps us understand and heal our relationship to the world, to each other, and to our natural resources. We have much to learn and even more to remember. Here is your guide, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartmann, in bookstores everywhere.
The American middle class is on its deathbed. Ordinary folks who put in a solid day's work can no longer afford to buy a house, send their kids to college, or even get sick. If you're not a CEO, you're probably screwed. In his latest book, Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It by Tom Hartmann, Air America host Tom Hartmann shows how the middle class, a product of democracy that was so carefully put together by our country's founding fathers, has been systematically dismantled over the past quarter century and, under the guise of freeing the market, replaced by an anti-democratic system designed to line the pockets of the super-rich and corporations. Hartmann shows that it's not too late to return to the America our founders envisioned. Democracy requires a fair playing field. It will survive only if we the people stand up, speak out, and reclaim our democracy. To find out more about Tom's book tour, or to get an audio sneak peek of Screwed, The Undeclared War Against the Middle Class and What We Can Do About It, visit TomHartmann.com. Get Screwed by Tom Hartmann, available in all fine bookstores now.
Hey, Tom Hartmann here. In my new book, Threshold, The Crisis of Western Culture, I'm looking at the deteriorating state of our planet, where the dynamics of environmental, economic, and population change are boiling over the limits within which society can function. I'll be busting the myths and ideologies of religious fundamentalism, capitalism run amok, male domination and hierarchy, and militarism that are draining our world of its natural and human resources and engendering the suffering of millions for the benefit of a few. Threshold examines cultures that have thrived from the mother city of Caral, Peru to modern Denmark, and targets five areas of policy, national, religious, economic, corporate, and environmental, for specific and immediate reform. Radical in scope and boldness, but simple in its common sense logic, my book Threshold illustrates the mistakes we have made as a culture, as a country, and as individuals, and provides the inspiration and motivation that you're looking for to build a better, more sustainable world for all. It's available in fine bookstores everywhere. Threshold.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag you're it. Hey, are you looking for a quiet, relaxing summer vacation to the quaint seaside villages and historic harbors of New England? Well, then let me introduce you to the one way to do it, American Cruise Lines. Aboard their new fleet of small cruise ships, you will be transported to popular destinations like Martha's Vineyard, Nantucket, and Newport. In addition, this remarkable cruise will explore the scenic rivers and intimate ports along Maine's protected coastline. You'll marvel at the granite mountains of Arcadia National Park, admire the classic schooners in Camden Harbor, and best of all, you'll be treated to an authentic and not to mention delicious lobster bake on the shores of Maine. Throughout this all-inclusive journey, you can relax on your own private balcony, breathing in the ocean air and taking in the sights as the crew provides the highest level of personalized service and the very best food. Louise and I love cruising. Your hotel goes with you. You only unpack once. and the service and the food are spectacular. Simply request your free cruise guide today at AmericanCruiseLines.com. That's AmericanCruiseLines.com. 53 minutes past the hour. Eric in Erie, Pennsylvania. Hey, Eric, what's on your mind today?
Hey, afternoon, Tom. I am calling as the singularity and the unifying theory of today's entire program and all the callers.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, remember Leroy with his concern about males 18 to 29 being single?
Yeah.
That was a Pew Research chart that came out. Smirconish covered it over the weekend.
Oh, interesting.
And the numbers were, yeah, they were pretty staggering, actually. It was 63% for male in that age bracket, 34 for females. Now, correct me, my memory, have you had Scott Galloway on before?
I have not, but clarify something for me. How is it, if our population is 51% female, 50% male, that
right,
you're not seeing
women
roughly 50-50. Is it because, as he said, that women in that age group are dating older men?
Yeah, and it's a thing we've discussed about the white-collar to blue-collar female-male problem that we've been developing over decades of women outnumbering men at undergrad, grad, law, med school, upper management, middle management in corporate America. Women have been accelerating well for a couple decades, and this tying it to the Christianity and the MAGA thing, what used to, when America was great, it was when a mediocre, lazy white male could have himself a pretty assured good life, decent job, dignity, respect, a family, and then competition came into the field.
Right.
And you've
in
had
the form of women and people of color.
Were, right. Well, people of color and women, when they were excluded, what did they do? They rolled up their sleeves, they organized, and they fixed it legally.
Right.
These mediocre white males are drifting, as the last caller just said, towards this extremism and the Christianity, you know, warped with the GOP is the thing you need to talk to Galloway about. He's been sounding the alarm for a couple of years on all of the countries around the world that have available young, unattached male populations. They're unaffiliated with a religion or a career or a meaningful relationship, and their kind of shiftless lives lend them to movements of extremism that'll promise them status and prestige.
Right. Like the militia movements and like the incel movements.
Oh yeah. We've had small little pockets of it. It's no longer just a Michigan, Oregon thing now. It's not Randy Weaver anymore.
No, it's all across the country.
35% of these males, a lot of them have just given up. Those are the ones in mom's basement with the video game and the bong. But the misogyny, the anti-Semitism, they're unifying under the group that they think will restore their historic place at the top of the food chain.
Right, make
you
America great
Galloway
again
in.
For white men, period. I get
he's
it.
Got data. He's got a lot of data.
Galloway, what's his first name? Scott, okay.
NYU professor of business, but you and he are square on capital.
We'll check it out. Right, Eric, thank you.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you. With the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000. If you owe the IRS $5,000 or more in back taxes, call now for a free consultation.
Call 800-673-1574. 800-673-1574. Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.